This past week, pastor up in Yanceyville, for you don't know where Yanceyville is, it's actually Buck Tussle. I told him, I said, you know, the thing about integrity, you can't beat the music. You can't beat the music. That's awesome. I tell you what, let's stand up and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise Him like you mean it, folks. Come on. Praise Him like you mean it. You know, He deserves our praise. Come on. Praise Him like you mean it, guys. We could actually go home and say we've been in church, right? That's good. That's good. A couple weeks ago, Bud and myself were emailing each other. I hate the computer because I got to type. I got to type, and even the folks at Graham High School got to laughing at me because I had to, with the wrestling team, I have to do hydration tests, and then I have to type in the information and send it to the state of North Carolina. And the athletic director, he got everybody around. He says, and they call me the Rev. I said, you ought to watch the Rev on the computer. And their eyes are just wanting to know what he's giving. He says, he's like this. He's a one-finger typer. He says, a good thing we don't have a whole lot of wrestlers, because we would be here all day and all night long. But we were emailing each other, and he told me that the series of what he was going to be doing, and that I would be speaking the last message of the series. And I'm just pumped up. That music pumped me up. I can't, I'm about ready to come out my shoes. but anyway, when we were emailing back and forth, we learned some months ago that there are some bad things about internet, email and the internet, right? Number one, you can't see the person face to face, right? So you don't know the attitude. You don't know the tone of the person. And so what I did was I emailed Bud back and I said, well, I hope I can do your series ending message justice. Well, I guess that was one of them non-face-to-face encounters. And he wrote me back. He says, well, if you don't think you can do it justice, let me know. And I wrote him back. I said, well, I didn't mean it in a bad way. I was just trying to show some humility. Some humility. This morning, we're going to be talking about knowing God. And humility is a big part of knowing God. Even though I won't mention it again, humility. But it's a part of knowing God. Now, when I was a little kid in Sunday school, I was so proud of this. I chest poked out and head held high, because in Sunday school, I got a humble button. Humble button. And the next week, they took it away from me because I wore it to church. And I didn't get that. They took my humble button away from me. It's unfortunate this morning that our churches are filled with not just Christians, but church people. And there's a difference. And I believe that one of the bad things is this, is not only church people, that there are some Christians out there that just know of God. They don't know God. Do you realize there's a difference? They know of God, but they don't truly know God. It's like myself. A lot of you know of Steve. You know that for the past some months that I've been working with your young people, your children. You know that there's time to time I get up here and speak. You know me, or you know of me as I pass by. You know different things about me. But you truly don't know me because you don't really sit down and talk to me. Now, my wife, she knows me. She knows me real well. My family, they know me. They know what motivates me. They know what makes me tick. They know my heart. They know what moves me and my passion. There's even some of you in here this morning that you know me because we've actually had time to sit down and talk, to get to know each other, to learn about each other. So this morning, I'm going to give you some things that'll help you when you walk out this building today. You're going to make a choice. I'm going to decide I'm either going to still continue to know of God, or I'm going to set out to truly know God. But there's two things that church people and some Christians, that they can't stand. It scares them to death. There's two words that are out there that we're going to touch on today too. And number one is commitment. Everybody likes commitment. I see a lot of faces out there going, "Dude, where are you going?" We want to talk about commitment. Commitment is an agreement or a pledge to do something. And today I'm going to challenge you to commit to some things in your life. Now, how many of you have a job? Do you realize you've committed yourself to that job? Because you wake up, some of you, like myself, the wee hours of the morning to get up and go to that job. Some of you got banker's hours. You get to sleep a little bit longer, but you still go to that job. How many of you are into sports? Come on, sports. Do you realize that you're committed to that? Because you go out there and you practice, you try to make yourself better, and game time you can perform. Now, how many of you is married? Do you realize there's a commitment involved in marriage? And the wives right now are looking at their husbands saying, "You better know there's a commitment." Look, when I do premarital counseling, this is one thing, one of the first things that I tell people when I counsel them before they get married. Don't ever let me think that you believe that divorce is an option. Because if you do, I won't marry you. You can find somebody else. Why? Because marriage is commitment. And if you're going in there with a lack of commitment, that marriage is not going to last long. And that marriage is not going to be on my hands. Marriage is work, guys. A relationship with God is work. So I'm going to give you four things this morning that I hope that will actually encourage you to want to go out and know God the way God wants you to know himself. Not the way I want to, Wade or Bud or anybody else, but the way God wants you to know him. But, everybody say but. Just wanted to hear you say but in church. But, we like to make excuses, don't we? Instead of doing the things that we know that we should be doing that are right, we can really come up with some stupid, cheesy stuff, huh?
Oh, man. What is this, Tuesday night? But Bud's got that thing at church, I think, like walk through the Bible or something. But I got all this I need to work on right now. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I'm glad I finally got time. It's been bothering me pretty bad.
Hey, Wade.
Hey.
What are you doing?
I'm putting my recycling in alphabetical order.
Why?
It's been bothering me bad, real bad. I'm glad I had the time to do it. You're okay. Probably going to church, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, I got to finish this.
Okay.
I'll probably be there next
week. I'll
see
you later.
Okay. Oh, good. There's my CDs. I've been wanting to work on this for a long time. Get these things in order. Oh, yeah. Man, 80s music. Seems like yesterday. Too bad it was 20 years.
Hey, Wade.
Hey.
Well, what are you doing now?
I'm I'm putting all these in the year that they came out, you know, when they were, you know, made, released, or whatever.
Why?
It's been bothering me.
That's
and I had some
you.
Time to myself, so I figured this is what I would do.
Okay, I'll leave you to it.
Well, okay, thanks.
Have fun.
All right. I think I got one last thing while I got some time here. Oh, cool. How you doing?
You can keep going.
Really?
What are you doing
I'm
now?
Well, I had some time, and I'm just practicing for that, you know, thing on TV.
What's
you,
that?
You know I can dance or something like that.
Are you serious? Or,
yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can I give you some advice as a friend?
Yeah.
Give up that dream, please.
Okay, well, thanks. Appreciate it.
It kills me with that dance. I told Wade this morning, I said, when Bud's away, the kid will play. But basically, isn't that true? When we know the things that we're supposed to be doing to get that relationship with God established and get it going and get it moving, don't we find some really cheesy stuff to put in its place? We're good at making excuses. Look, this morning, I didn't come here to bring you a message to make you feel good about yourself. I've come here this morning to bring you a message to challenge you. To challenge you to get to the point in your life to where you will desire to know God the way that God wants you to know Him. And that's important. I'm going to give you four things this morning, just four. The first one is this. Now, they tricked me this morning because I forgot I actually gave them PowerPoint stuff. And I asked them the question. I said, okay, what's? Give me one. Give me one. Give me the first one we need. And they actually come out and said it. Shocked me. And they're not going to do it to me today. This time. I got it this time. The first one is Bible study. Bible study. It's important. Bible study. This is what the scripture said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Bible study. Now, I kind of like the idea of this. How can you expect to even think about knowing God if you don't open up your Bible? If your only Bible time that you have is here on Sunday morning because we put it up on the screen. It's important for you to commit to discipline in your life, a time that you can have Bible time or Bible study. And for me, I think it's important for you to incorporate your family into that Bible study. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on. Go like that. Some of you are looking at me like you've been slapped in the face with a dead rabbit. Bible study. It's important. Now, how many men we got out there? Now, guys, don't look at your wives and ask her if you're a man, okay? How many men we got out there? I had to actually encourage a few in the first service to raise their hand. All right, how many husbands do we have out there? How many wannabe husbands do we have? There we go. You want to propose? Okay. How many fathers do we have? Guys, do you realize that it is mandated, it is written in the Word of God that you as the man are supposed to be the head of the house? Do you realize that? Come on. You don't know, do you? Supposed to be. Supposed to be. And not only are you supposed to be the head of the house, but the Bible tells us that we're to be the spiritual leaders of the home. Men, we are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our home. If we're not doing that, then we're going against what God and what God has said for us to do. He says, men, you are to be the spiritual leaders of the home. Women, if you are holding your man back from being the spiritual leaders of the home, you're wrong too. Look, guys, we're going to be held accountable for this one day. We're going to stand before God and God's going to say, well, why didn't you do this or why did you do that? Ladies, you're going to be accountable too. But if the man refuses to do what he's been called to do, then ladies, you got to do it. Because you got to teach your family. You got to teach your family in the way, in the things of God. My wife sent me an email, and it kind of brought me back down to earth. And what she says, you know, I missed the Steve that was really studying his Bible. Because when Steve studied his Bible, I learned. Guys, that's something. Well, on Father's Day, and a lot of you know, I had a Harley Davidson motorcycle. I love Harley Davidson, but you couldn't have bought me a Harley Davidson and made me any more happier than what I got for this one Father's Day. And all it was a card. Our youngest daughter, Candace, she made up a great big card. And this is what she said. Daddy, thank you for teaching me about God. Guys, do you realize the impact that you can make in the lives of the people that you say you love if you just do some Bible study? Now I'm not saying that you have to get up there and give an hour and a half of your time. I'm not saying that you do that to start with. Give 10 or 15 minutes. Get started. Read the Scripture. Meditate on the Scripture. Memorize the Scripture. Ask questions. Allow the family to have input. Look, I've worked with all your kids basically for the past 7 years. You would be surprised what they know. If you just get them in there and y'all get involved together. If there's something that you don't understand, write it down. Ask somebody. I'm one that will. And if you come and you ask me, and I don't know what it is, guys, I won't rest until I get you the answer. I'm fortunate that on one of my computer programs, I have umpteen different translations of the Bible. And I've got commentaries that I can look. I just won't look at one translation. I won't look at one paraphrase. I want to look at a lot of them to get a grasp on what God is telling me. Youth study helps. Mom called me up a few weeks ago, and Sherry can't say. Sherry told me not to say what I said in the first service because I don't want to offend nobody. But I love old people. Got some of them going like that now. How many of you have a tendency to forget from time to time? You're getting old. And we love you, don't we? She was telling me that she has forgot some things about the parables and what the parables were trying to say. And she asked me, she said, "Steve, is there anything that you have that can help me?" That's somebody, guys, not just because she's my mom. It's the fact that there's somebody that has a desire to want to study the Word of God. Understand what I'm saying? Now, I told her, I said, "Now, I got a little book it's a book of the parables, but I can't find it. But I got some commentaries." Each book, about like that. Four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can use them. And I took them to her. And when I brought them in the house, her and Dad both went, "Big books." But you got to use what's been made available to you. Guys, how can you expect to know God if you don't get into what He's given us? Understand what I'm saying? You got to commit to discipline your life with Bible study. You got to commit to that. Number two, you got to commit to prayer. Prayer. The scripture there is Romans 12:12. This is out of the Phillips translation. "Base your happiness upon the hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly. Maintain the habit of what? Of what?
Prayer.
Prayer." Guys, for me, and if I'm wrong, tell me. But for me, prayer is talking with God. It's talking with God. Now, I don't know. I might be wrong. And I love to reverence God. But you know what? I don't bow my head and close my eyes all the time. Because I don't see where it says that I have to do that all the time. But a lot of people, that's what they put in with prayer, that I have to bow my head and close my eyes. All right? And I drive a lot. And a lot of times that's when I talk to God. It's like the guy that him and his buddy were out on the corner and he was talking about his faith in God. And he said, "I got a whole lot of faith in God." And he said, "Well, if you've got a whole lot of faith in God, why don't you go out, stand out in the middle of the road? God's going to take care of you." He said, "Okay." He goes out, stands out in the middle of the road, and boom. He wakes up, opens his eyes. He's in heaven. He got run over. He says, "You know, I got to talk to God about this." And he says, "God, I was just trying to show my faith. Why'd you let this happen to me?" He said, "Well, man, I'm glad you were showing me your faith, but I didn't ask you to be stupid." You know, God wants me to talk to Him, and I'm driving in the truck, and that's when my best talking time is. He don't want me to be stupid about it and close my eyes, because not only will it hurt me, it'll hurt some of y'all. But I just like talking to God. And it's so funny because you get some pretty wild looks when you're up in your truck. I'm a truck driver. When you're up in your truck and you're talking to God, because people look at you like you're strange. And I used to have a little skunk. I used to have a little skunk on my CB radio, and it's up in the front window. And it was just one, you know, you just wonder, people ride by. The dude is talking to a stuffed animal. That's truck driving life, you know, talking to a stuffed animal. But we're just talking to God. Because that's when I feel like I'm at my best. I'm wide awake. I know what's going on around me. And I can talk. Don't have any distraction. I can talk. The Bible actually tells us this. We're to pray without ceasing. So we should be in constant communication with God. And guys, there's nothing wrong with that. How can you expect to know God unless you talk to God? Am I right? Just want to make sure. Now you're looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Back in 1987, something happened to me that changed my life forever. Now, guys, I was a Christian, but I wasn't living it. I lived life the way I wanted to live it back then. But I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden I heard a voice. And the voice, guys, was so real. I thought it was the guy back in the sleeper. Because I actually said, what did you say? And nothing. A little bit further, I hear this voice again. And I knew then who it was. Because remember, didn't I just tell you that I was a Christian but wasn't living it? You see, the Bible tells us that the sheep hears the shepherd and know his voice. And I knew who it was. And that night I recommitted my life to Christ. And it was just because I talked to God. Just talking with God. Matthew 6, we have the Lord's Prayer, which I actually consider that to be the disciples' prayer, because this is what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, this then is how you should pray. He actually gives us an example on how that we should pray. And I believe that there's six steps in that prayer. One is we ought to praise Him, right? You know, look, you didn't open up your eyes this morning without God. You realize that? That God is the one that opened up your eyes. You don't get your next breath if it's not because of God. He's the one that allows us to breathe. So we do have something to praise Him about. And then we're to pray with purpose. We're to pray for provision. Pray for pardon. Pray for others. And pray for protection. The other Thursday morning, what was it, Thursday week ago when we were supposed to have bad weather? Is that right? I was headed out to Petersburg, Virginia. And I'm thinking, because the Weather Channel, I don't know why I got a whole lot of faith in the Weather Channel, but the Weather Channel said that the snow and the ice is not going to come up in that area until that evening. So I'm thinking, I'm okay. I don't like driving in the snow and ice. I have to, but I don't like doing it. Well, I get up in Petersburg, 7 o'clock that morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for these people to come on out and unload my truck, and all of a sudden I see snow falling. I'm going, uh-oh. And then just within a matter of moments, it got to snowing to beat the band. And all of a sudden the ground was white. I'm thinking, this is not good. Because after I leave here, I got to go up to the south side of Washington, D.C. So if it's snowing here, guess what it's doing up there? So I get out on the road. I pray two of the steps. One, I thank God for allowing me to see another day. And number two, I ask God to protect me and protect others. Because I don't care how good you think you are driving, ice is a different story. So I just talk to God. Guys, you got to talk to God. Number three is quiet time. Quiet time. It says here that Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. You've got to find that place that you know that has the least distraction. And that's where you need to go. Again, for me, it's in my truck. Why do I say that? Because I have control over the knobs on the radios. I have control on who gets in my truck. If I want it to be quiet, it's quiet. And that's where I have my best time. Because, you know, before I just talked, I prayed. I talked to God in the truck. This is where I have my quiet time because I really enjoy the quiet. And guys, understand this, that when I'm enjoying the quiet, this is when God will speak to me. Because I'm letting all the other distractions, I'm getting them away from me. It's just me and God. And now I'm allowing Him to speak to me. Because I really think that God done this on purpose. He gave us two ears and one mouth. That maybe that we as people ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Because listen, God wants to speak to you. He really does. You just got to give Him a chance. Because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll say, you know, I really want to get in tune with God. Okay, God, I'm over here. Let's do something right here. And God says, no, I'm over here working. I'm doing something right here. Why don't you come and join me? But we're so busy talking over here that we miss out on what God is actually doing over here. Anybody ever took experiencing God? Huh? That's a part of experiencing God. Going where God is. And guys, you can't get there unless you give that time to Him and listen to Him. I just think it's just totally awesome that Steve, me, just a dumb old country redneck, okay, that God wants me to be a part of what He's doing. That's awesome. I still can't get over it, but I don't want to pass it by. And I cherish the fact that God has allowed me to be a part of seeing the people's lives change. And it's because I learned to slow down and listen. You got to listen. How can you expect to know somebody if you never listen to them? Husbands, wives, how do you expect to know each other if you don't ever sit down and listen to each other? You can talk to God, but you got to listen to God. It's important. And lastly, everybody say amen. I told Sherry a while ago, I sat down in one of them chairs. That ought to be a sin. To sit down in one of them chairs in the conference center because I melted in the chair and I'm thinking, I could go to sleep. The last one is community. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says this, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. That means that there's people out there that really don't like to get together with the group. Instead, let us encourage each other. Guys, that's a part of community, that God draws us together, that we're there for each other. We love each other. We lift each other up, that we encourage each other. And that's big with community. Guys, look, if it wasn't important, God wouldn't have said it. And you cannot be a Lone Ranger Christian. You understand that? You can't do it. I never did understand the show anyway. How many of you ever watched Lone Ranger? Did you ever understand why they titled it The Lone Ranger when he always had a partner? Huh? Hey, and I learned this morning, I forgot who it was. I'm getting old. Tonto, you know. Not only Tonto, but he had Howl Silver away. You know, he had his horse with him. But they called it The Lone Ranger. I couldn't get it. But he was with somebody. He had a companion. Guys, we need community because if you think you can go out and you think you can face the world or you can face the devil on your own, you're sadly mistaken. You're going to fall flat on your face. And if you're not willing to be in a community, who's going to be there to help you up? Right? Who's going to help pick you up? Unless you get involved and community. Last week, I talked with Mr. Hubbard, and I gave him my condolences of, you know, because of his loss of his father. And I told him, I said, if there's anything that we can do, just let me know. And he, this is what he told me. He says, man, you would not, I was just amazed of how this church surrounded him and his family. And I told him, I said, Mr. Hubbard, we've been there too. When Charisse died, you were there. And that's community. Because here he was, and here we were. We wasn't up on the mountain. We were really down in the valley. But we had a community of believers. Not just believers, friends. That was there. Guys, if you don't have community, how do you expect to get through life? If you don't have people that want to love on you and want to be there for you. But if you alienate yourself, it's hard. You know, a lot of people don't know this about me, but basically, deep down inside, I'm a loner. I'm a loner. Now, it's wild because of the fact that I've been playing organized sports since I was 5 years old. Team. Everybody say team. I play team sports since I was 5 years old. At age 19, I went into the United States Navy. I was on board an aircraft carrier with 5,000 plus people. I'm a loner. I joined a motorcycle club, and we had everything we did together. But I wanted to be by myself. Even when I got involved in ministry, I wanted to do it by myself. And I learned real quick, you can't do it. You need a community. You need those people around you that can support you and that can be there for you. Now, being a truck driver, I'm fascinated with things that I see when I go down the road or go up the road, go over, you know, wherever. I love watching geese. I love watching geese. Why? Because when they begin to fly, they form a V formation. And it just really puzzled me because if you look out in the field and you see all the crows or the blackbirds, what? They're all over the place. But geese, they got a V formation. And this is what I learned. They draft off each other. They can go further because they draft off each other. Now, if you don't understand what I mean by this, maybe you'll understand this. How many of you are into NASCAR? All right, you can raise your hand. NASCAR's not a sin. Okay. You can raise your hand. Now, have you ever wondered why at 185 mile an hour, the guy's about that far from the bumper of the one in front of him? You ever wondered why? And I bet he's praying, I hope this guy don't hit his brakes. But what happens is he is actually drafting off of the guy in front of him because it's pulling him along the track. He's using less fuel and he's using less wear and tear on his car. And that's the way the geese are. They're drafting. And when the front birds, they get tired, they go to the back. And the ones in the back, they're going up to the front and they're drafting. They can go further. And let me tell you another thing else I found out about geese. That when one of them falls out, he's not left alone. Other geese stay with him until he's ready to go again. Don't you think as Christians, we can learn a valuable lesson from geese? That when one of us falls, that instead of us wanting to be at the front of the crowd all the time, then maybe we ought to go back and help a brother in need or a sister in need. Because the Bible tells us this, that we're to bear one another's burdens. That we're to lift each other up. That we're to encourage each other. We're to be there for each other. Guys, that's a part of community. Now, fortunately, here at this church, we do have the big community, right? You basically, you have your second service. This is a good-sized community, isn't it? But do you realize that within this big community, there's small communities too? That we call small groups? That you really need to get yourself involved in? I would encourage you to try to take Class 201. And 201 can help you. Matter of fact, if you want to get involved with a small group, see Wade Kimball. He needs to do some work. Because he ain't going to make it dancing. Right? Community helps us through the hard times, and it rejoices with us in the good times. These are just four ways that I've given you to help you know God just a little bit better. But more importantly, to know God the way He wants you to know Him. And this is my challenge to you today. To commit to the four disciplines in your life. Just these four that I've given you. To know God. You just not know of Him, but truly know Him. And who He is. Guys, as they sang this morning, He is an awesome God. He saved my hind end up quite a few times. He's good. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. God, we thank You for the music and how it touched our hearts and how it moved us to glorify You and praise You. God, we thank You for Your words. God, we thank You that You have given us Your words that we can live by and that we can show others Your way. God, I pray that this morning that You will just touch our hearts and help us to commit to these disciplines. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you are a regular here at Integrity, don't forget the boxes in the back. Drop your offerings off, your tithes off, and your communication cards. God bless you guys, and have a good week. Stay.